You guys, I'm so glad. This is like so fun to be here with you guys. We are going to do something that just is in the same spirit of a rave party, and that's take communion. I'm going to turn the corner right now, and we are going to talk about what it means to be at church in a real sense, in a sense that we are the body of Christ coming together with our Savior. And for some of you, maybe Jesus isn't your Savior. Maybe you're at church, and that's it. And that's okay. We want you here. We believe in having a blast. We believe in, we don't take ourselves too seriously, you can tell. And we believe in loving people, and we believe in falling more and more in love every day with Jesus, who at this time of the year blew our minds by coming in and being born in a box of wood and then ending up on a wood cross. And that's what Christmas is about. You see, Christmas wouldn't be Christmas if Jesus didn't go to the cross. And so what happens is Jesus went to the cross, and then he went into the grave, and then he rose from the dead, and the fact that he rose from the dead is the reason we sit in this room. Scripture says that if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, church is in vain. Faith is in vain. This gathering is a waste of time. But Jesus came, born of a virgin, and then he died on a cross, and he rose from the dead. Today, we're going to take communion. And the word communion, it means fellowship. It means relationship. It means interaction. You're going to have this with each other. You're going to have communion with each other, with your families and your friends. You're going to do that. You're going to sit down, and you're going to talk, and you're going to make coffee, and you're going to eat pie, and you're going to eat tenderloin. And you're going to commune. And what communion means is it's a time for you to come and engage in a serious moment with your Lord and Savior, if in fact Jesus is your Savior. And so I want to tell everybody why we do communion, what the point is, how we got here, how we started doing communion. I want to make sure everybody knows. You see, communion really started in the life and time of Christ. If you have a Bible right now, or you have like a phone, or you memorize the whole thing, just pull up Luke 22, and we're going to be looking at this passage, and I want to set this up for you, because we're going to look at the first communion, and we're going to talk about why we're doing the same thing that Jesus did with his disciples this morning. In Luke 22, what you see is Jesus Christ, this baby that was born in a barn. You see him and his closest followers towards the end of his 3 years, where he really started to tell the world that he was God. And 3 years into his time on earth, telling people about the kingdom of God and that who he was the one to follow and doing miracles, there was this meal that was coming up called the Passover. And the Passover meal was a meal that was really only supposed to be taken by Jewish people in the city of Jerusalem. And so what Jesus does, and we see in this passage working up to it, is he takes his two closest followers, Peter and John, and he sends them in to this town to get communion started. And so we're going to pick up in Luke 22, where Jesus is saying, you guys are going to go and get this communion meal prepared, and I'm going to tell you why he did that, and then we're going to do that, okay? So in Luke 22, it says this. He sent Peter and John into the city, and he says this. Keep your eyes open as you enter the city. A man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him home. Then speak with the owner of the house. The teacher wants to know, and just hold it right there. What Jesus does is he sends these two guys into the city, because in the city is where they're supposed to take this meal. And he says, you're going to see a man with a jar. And immediately, Peter and John are going, a man with a jar? Because men, typically during this time, did not carry water jars. It was always women. And so Jesus, with this statement, is saying, when you go in there, you're going to see something unusual. And I want you to follow that. And it's going to stick out like a sore thumb. And then you are going to follow that person, and you are going to move in that person. And we are going to come together as a result of this unusual meeting. And we are going to take and have this Passover meal. So they go in, and the guy says to the person with the jar, he says, where's the guest room, or the owner of the house that was had the jar? He says, where's the guest room so we can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? That's what Jesus is telling them to say to this owner of the house. He will show you a spacious second-story room, swept and ready. Prepare the meal there. Jesus tells his disciples to go into town, and he basically communicates that I've already orchestrated this. You see, either through supernatural communication or Jesus, sometime when his disciples were like in bed, like parents like preparing Christmas presents when their kids are asleep. Santa comes too, guys, but parents do some of that. And Jesus says, like, I've got this whole thing prepared. So he says, go into the city, follow this guy, and we're going to have the Passover meal. Now, the Passover meal, to you and me, hearing that's kind of like, maybe I've heard that before, maybe some friends of yours have taken Passover before, but here is the history behind Passover. Passover is a meal that commemorates, that the Jewish people eat to remember when the Israelite people, hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, were in slavery under the rule of the Egyptians. So hundreds of years before this time, the Egyptian people had these Israelite guys in slavery. And they were there for 400 years. And then God brought this man named Moses along, and he said, Moses, you're going to go, and you are going to tell Pharaoh, the leader of the Egyptians, that my people need to come out of there. I'm going to set my people free. They need to come out of slavery. And Pharaoh is just like not having this because the Israelite people essentially make up more than half of their economy by creating bricks and building buildings and doing all the heavy lifting in Egypt. And so Pharaoh's just, no way I'm not having that. No way I'm not having that. I'm never going to let your people go. They're my people. It's not going to happen. And Moses, through the power of God and some of his family and friends, they show the Egyptian people that God is powerful by doing these amazing signs and wonders. And you can read all about that in the book of Exodus. But what happens is they do about 9 signs to say, look how powerful God is. And the last sign to communicate to the Egyptian people that they need to be let go because God wants them to be let go is called the Passover. And you can read about this in Exodus 11, 12, and 13. Here's what happens. God tells the people of Egypt and all the Israelites in the land, he says, you need to go and you need to get a lamb or a goat that's 1 year old. And it needs to be perfect. It needs to be your best lamb. And what you need to do is you need to sacrifice that lamb, cook the meat, and you need to take the blood from that lamb and you need to put the blood on the top of the door and both sides of your door. And in the middle of the night, on a certain day, at a certain time, the power of God, the presence of God, the angel of God is going to come through town. And when he sees blood on the top of the door and the sides, he will pass over that house and just move to the next one. And whatever house does not have blood on the door, the angel, the power, the presence of God will move into that house, and the firstborn child will die. And God, through Moses, communicated this sign to all the people of Egypt and all the people of Israel. The people of Israel, they said, we're going to do this. And they took a goat, and they cooked the goat, and they took the blood, put it on the doors. And that night, this powerful presence of God came through. And if you didn't have blood, you lost your firstborn son, whatever age it was. And the people of Israel were quiet that night, but the people of Egypt wailed and cried because they lost loved ones, including Pharaoh, lost his firstborn son. And so at that moment, the leader of Egypt says, okay, God is powerful, and he has a plan to get his people out from underneath my slavery. And so he let the people go. Now, for some of you that are going, you know, see, right there, that's a part I struggle with. Like, how could God, in the presence of God or the power of God, see that those firstborn children would die? You see, God had communicated over and over and over again and proved himself over and over and over again that he went to that dramatic measure to say, I'm serious about setting these people free. And the scripture says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. That's why he didn't get any of the clues. And so God says, I am so serious in the story of me. I want these people to be set free because I have a greater purpose for these people to be set free. So how far are you going to test me? And he took it all the way to the edge, and Pharaoh brought him there, and he said, okay, all right, I'm going to push it. And from that time on, all the Israelites, once a year, would sit down, and they would take a goat, and they would eat it, and have herbs and spices and unleavened bread, and they would remember the Passover that God brought his people out from this slavery. So Jesus and his disciples, Jewish men, Jewish boys, that took the Passover like anybody else, like anyone else. And they had probably taken the Passover together several times. And when they go into town to have the Passover meal, and Jesus says, we're going to go have the Passover. At that moment, it meant we're going to celebrate what God did as he set our people free. But Jesus, in this meeting, changed the meaning for Passover for those of us that call Christ God. He changed it. And you're going to see that. And it in this meeting is where we see the first communion. So you see, you have this Passover meal. And then it says here that they would find a room that was swept and prepared. And what this means for us is that God wants the room for the intimate time with God, with Jesus and his disciples, to be prepared, to be cleaned. And you see, we learn later in Scripture that for Christians to come together, to have communion, to sit with Jesus during what was the Passover meal and what Jesus changes in this text, that there needs to be a cleaned out heart and a prepared mind. And so here's the deal. Jesus wants to have Passover. He wants to have communion with you really bad. But you see, this is a time for people that love Jesus to say, I'm going to sit and commune with Jesus. And so right now, you have to ask yourself, do I have a personal relationship with Christ? In other words, are you prepared? You see, the disciples went in, they found the second story room, and it was all cleaned out and it was all ready. And then John and Peter probably got the lamb and they cooked and they did all this stuff. And they prepared so that you could come together with Jesus. And in the same way, you have to ask yourself, are you ready to sit in communion with Christ? Are you ready to really engage him? I mean, in your heart, you talk to Christ, you know Christ, he loves you, you have a relationship with him. You see, in the church, especially New Testament church, in this denominational world and churches that meet in school buildings and all of it, of all that you hear in church, the most important thing is this thing, a personal relationship with Christ. Because we put a lot of emphasis on having personal relationships with each other. That's why there's nothing more important than you having a personal relationship with Christ. You see, and you have to ask yourself, are you prepared to sit with Jesus and commune with him? And here's how you can know that. You can know that by saying, Jesus, I love you. I know you love me. If you came during Christmas time and you like grew up and you died on a cross and you rose from the dead and all of that is for me, then I believe you love me. So whatever you're offering to me in terms of a relationship, I want it. I want that relationship with you, God. And at any moment, through faith, you can profess and say, I want to have that relationship with you, Jesus. Anytime. Anytime. And so I'm going to give you a chance to do that right now. You see, prayer is something that happens inside. It's something that you believe. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to bow your head. You just believe something in your heart. And so right now, I just want you, in the quietness of your mind, if you've never asked Jesus into your life, then you're probably not prepared to take communion. But I want you to be prepared to take communion. I want you to be ready to have a relationship with Christ and to take communion. So I want you to just, in your heart right now, if you've never asked him into your life, I just want you to say this, just quietly. just to yourself. God, I love you because you love me. And I want a relationship with you. And I'm drawing near to you. And I have doubts. And I have frustrations. And I don't understand everything, but I understand love. And if you died for me, that means you love me. So I want to start right now loving you back. I want to have a relationship with you. If you said that to God, Scripture says that like your heart just came alive, that you are literally like born again in a spiritual sense, and now you have a personal relationship with God. And in the same way, that means that your heart has been swept clean. And for those of us in here that know Jesus and follow Jesus, this is a time for us to be reminded that God has swept your heart clean, that whatever sin, whatever you have done, whatever you have thought that you might think falls short of God's intention for this world and our lives, you know, Jesus wiped all that away. And so you get to just be reminded and worship God, and you get to, for the first time, say, God, sweep out my heart. And then for those of us that have this relationship with Jesus, we get to be reminded that God has wiped away all of our sin. And that's what communion's about. And Jesus, so excited, has the meal prepared, and all of his disciples come into this room. Their hearts are prepared. And he blows the doors off of this dinner. And this is what it says. This is in Luke. When it was time, he sat down, all the apostles with him, the closest, the 12 followers of Christ. He sat down with him and said, you've no idea how much I've looked forward. I have looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. Jesus, in the truest sense, stops the meal and says, all I want is a relationship with you. I have that. I want to be close to you. I want to walk with you. You guys, Jesus wants to be with you. You see, you came to church today and you kind of weave in and out of your desire to follow God. That's the way I am. It's tough. You forget about the Lord. You forget about your time with him. You forget about pursuing him. You don't even know what that means. Some of you maybe don't even pursue him at all. And even if you just got here on some whimsical invitation, you need to hear this. Jesus wants to be with you. He has longed to sit down with you. He has longed to look you in the eye. He has longed to hear your heart. And everything he is to take any pain, any suffering, any trouble, any frustration, and wipe it clean and say, I love you through all of this. I'm going to go and suffer and die, and I just want you to know, however much you think you want to be with me, just take that times a million. I want to be with you. I have longed for this moment. Some of us don't believe that Jesus truly loves us. We think we're not good enough. We think we're messed up. We think we did that thing back then. We think that maybe we don't look the right way, or we don't talk the right way, or we don't act the right way. Do you know that Jesus came for all? He loves all of you right where you are. And no matter what you're coming in with a hardened heart, with a fist, if you're angry at God, or you're angry at your family because of God, or you're angry at the world, Jesus doesn't care about any of that. He just loves you. He's here for you, and you can bring all of your stuff, whatever you've got going on. You can plop it down right in front of him, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to push it out of the way, and he's going to grab you and say, I just want to be with you. I just care about you. I've come here for you. And then he memorializes his desire to be with us. And this is where the Passover takes on new meaning, and Jesus takes us there. And this is special. This is communion, a prepared heart that's been swept clean with a God who wants you at the table. And he does this. Look what he does. Taking the bread, he blessed it. He broke it. He broke the bread. And he said to them, this is my body given for you. eat it in my memory. Jesus is the grandest artist of them all. He is the most superior designer, and he brings symbolism and sweetness to a moment that you and I do every day. We break bread, we eat, and he says, I want you to, at this time, there's other meals, but during this time, right now, I just want you to see something. I just want you to see that my body's going to be broken. And every time you break this bread and you do it in remembrance of me, I want you to remember that my body was broken for you. And actions speak louder than words. So I want to be with you, and I'm going to prove it. And every time you see this, I want you to know, Jesus wants to be with me. Jesus loves me. And he took the bread. He said, this is symbolic. You see, the bread isn't Jesus. The bread represents Jesus. Jesus is holding the bread. This is like my body. I'm going to go be broken for you. Remember that. That's just me saying, I want to be with you. I love you. I came here for you. I love you. I love you. I want to be with you. And at the table, there's a cup, and he grabs the cup, and he says this. He says, he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant written in my blood poured out for you. You got to hear this. He says, you as a people have been celebrating communion for hundreds and hundreds of years. You've been thinking about a lamb that's blood was shed and put on a doorpost. And from now on, I want you, when you take this cup, to think about something differently. Would you think about something differently? The way the lamb delivered you from death, so will I deliver you from death. This cup, it represents my blood poured out for you. Listen, in the Old Testament, the blood represented the people of Israel being set free from literal slavery. In the New Testament, with a new promise and a new plan, Jesus says, my blood sets anyone free who wants to be set free. Anyone, everyone, you get to go. You get to be delivered. You see, I've been waiting all this time to tell you how much I want to be with you. I used symbolism to let the people of Israel go, and now I'm bringing this whole thing. It's new. It's new. And it doesn't erase what I did in the past. It takes what I did in the past, and it brings light to it and says, now, freedom for all. Freedom for any. Freedom for anyone that wants to be with me, I want to be with them, because when you see that this bread was broken, it means I love you. And when you drink this cup, I want you to think that my blood was spilled out on the ground because I want to be with you. It's new, it's fresh, it's good. Jesus wants to be with you. There's nothing in the world that he wants more than to have a relationship with you. And then to take a moment this morning and have the broken bread and the cup remind us of his heart and to draw close to it. Communion. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take some bread, we're going to take some juice. And when we do that, we're going to remember that Jesus wants to be with us. And if you're like me, that love overwhelms me. And nothing else we do is more important than moving towards the King of Kings who moved towards us, who wants to be with us. So in a minute, I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, I want you to move immediately to the closest table around you to have communion. I'm just going to identify where they are in the room right now. There's one here, there's one here, there's one in the middle of the room, and then there's one in the back for each side. There's six total. One, two, three, four, five, six. I want you, as soon as I'm done praying, to move directly to the table closest to you. And then I want you to take a piece of bread. It's a full piece of bread, and I want you to grab a piece of bread and break a piece off. And when you do that, I want you to remember that we're doing this because this is a God who came like flesh, became flesh, and like his body was broken for us. And he's going, I want you to know how much I want to be with you. I laid it on the line. This is how much. Just remember, my body was destroyed. You know that scripture says that he was so brutally beaten when he suffered to go to the cross that he was unrecognizable. So you're going to take the bread and you're going to break it off, and then you're going to take that piece of bread and you're going to dip it into the juice, and that juice represents the blood of God spilled on the ground that screams out, I want to be with you. And what I want you to do is I want you to do that quickly. Take a piece off, dip it in, and then move directly back to your seat. You can take it immediately, but please keep moving so the lines can keep moving through for communion. Come right back to your seat, and then we're going to sit. You can take communion at any time, just thinking about how much God wants to be with you and how much you love him for giving his life for you. And then Jeff is going to lead us in a song that talks about the Lamb of God, because Passover was about a lamb whose blood was shed for deliverance from slavery. And today we celebrate the Lamb of God whose blood was shed for deliverance out of slavery into eternal life with Jesus. That's what this is all about. So just take a minute and let's pray together. And then when I'm done, go ahead and move directly to the table closest to you. Father, I can just see you there with your disciples. Just the passion and the intention in your heart to communicate your love. All of it wrapped up in hundreds, thousands of years of history, of meaning, that brings us to this day, to this moment, where we remember what you did for us. Some of us maybe don't even know you, but if you did that for us, that is special. God, I just thank you. I just worship you. My life is for you. I pray you just continue to guide me and use your Spirit to show me how to live and love and represent the kind of love you have for me to the people around me. God, you are so good, and you have changed this game. We worship you. We love you. We commune with you. In Jesus' name, amen.